Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Happy Christmas Eve to you, boils and goyles, kittens and cats and kittens. What a reference. Seems like it was 3 years ago, but it was actually in 2020. All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Boy, do we have some great updates for everyone today on this pod. It's going to be a great adventure through fantasy playoffs, Christmas happenings, and just not even fantasy playoffs, but best ball finale setups to just prove once and for all if the host can actually win anything. Although, I guess, speak for myself, one of us did win Ref Pool last year. First and foremost, Jeff, how are you doing today?
Well, it's not a chilly Christmas Eve here in California. It's 61 degrees. It's going to get up to 70. Ooh, nothing says winter like a 70 degrees in California. Excited to chat all things challenges, Christmas, NFL. For those of you who have tuned in long time or first time long times, you know, who knows. We will not be discussing Is Die Hard a Christmas Movie? Save that cliche for your filler in other pods.
We've already said too much.
But on the topic of Christmas movies, I had a quick update that I wanted to share that is really exciting. 2020, wow. You mentioned off the top Tiger King. Remember when Love is Blind was a thing? That was crazy. And Shay really enjoyed Love is Blind. And I'm getting the sense that what once was hatred for Jingle All the Way is now turning into love. She said, we got to save Jingle All the Way. We couldn't hit it last week. We gotta get it as we're closer to the dates. The Jamie, the Turboman dolls, the Sinbad. I was sending Sinbad gifts in my work chat this week. Oh, it was great.
So a revelation, as old as this pod is, actually before, like a year before
that. You detailed it last week. People are coming around on it.
Yeah, and just to detail the one time that I'm sure we've talked about this on this pod many a Christmas season before, but the fateful night in the Bristol, Connecticut home of Ashley and William Soisman, where we stayed up and watched Jingle All the Way and played a drinking game, and Shay Hutchins was alive and well, up and alive, and watching the movie and participating, and even invoking that, this movie ain't so bad. So that was about 4 or 5 years ago. And look how far we've come.
Yeah, the platform that we're watching it on, it's kind of funny. It shows you the Rotten Tomatoes, which is 15%.
Yeah, it's
but
not
then
good.
It shows you the user ratings, which 4.5 out of 5 stars. I mean,
wait.
Get out of here.
Okay, wait a minute. That's funny you say that, because I have DirecTV. And on my on-demand for DirecTV, it actually says, I just looked, so it's just bear with me for, I'm typing in right now. It'll be 5 seconds.
It's an audio.
Because I was stunned. Because I believe the user score for some reason on DirecTV was worse. And I was like, what the heck?
Whoa,
all right, it's coming up right now.
Whoa.
Jingle All the Way. It's a movie. Or do I want to... Ooh, in Spanish. En plena noche buena dos padres luchan por conseguir el único juguete que sus hijos quieren. Okay, anyway.
Yes. Sus hijos.
Oh my gosh, this is taking forever. Like, it's literally...
So it was actually, you think it's reversed on your DirecTV?
Here we go. So on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 17%, according to DirecTV. User, so popcorn score, right? That's what they call
Yeah.
Popcorn. Only 37%.
Oh, see, this is, yeah, I get that. That's, again, I feel like that's Rotten Tomatoes bias. This is people who have purchased the movie through this platform and then rated it after. So I feel like that is the truest accurate rating, because it's people who, one, spent hard-earned cash on a movie. When did it come out? It had to come out in the 90s,
96.
Late 90s, early 2000s. And then immediately after, when they said, how did you enjoy your Jingle All the Way experiences? 4.5 stars. I mean, people can go, you know, they're probably clicking around on Rotten Tomatoes. They see, like, worst holiday movies on time, and they're like,
yeah,
with that kind of framing, yeah, I'm going to hammer this as a 10, you know? But that's because they haven't experienced the joy of, you know, eating someone else's wife's cookies.
Mm. And, you know, possibly having to go check to see if she is in the shower. Speaking of Christmas movies, Jeff, I have a review for you here. A shocking review.
Uh-oh.
I sent a video or picture, I don't know what it was the other night, of me watching Office Christmas Party. I finally had finished it today. And you said what? It's a, like, you gave it like a, give me a, just a 1 through 10. What do you give it?
It's a 6.5, 7.
6.5. All right, perfect. I tend to disagree with you just a little bit. Not by much, though. I'd say if I had to kind of talk about it, first and foremost, it really shouldn't be a Christmas movie. I think that's really the whole thing about this.
Mm.
It's literally just an office party. If they called it Office Party and just had a movie about a party and then they hijinks ensues, then, you know, the movie would have been done. But the fact that they call it Office Christmas Party and the main character dresses as Santa Claus for one of the bits, I mean, that's literally, I can't think of anything else that has to do with Christmas other than that and it's winter in the movie. But with that all said, finishing it about 5 minutes ago before the pod, you gave it a 6.5. I'd say it's about a 2.
Oh, my.
It might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Wow.
The cliches.
Can you take out Kate McKinnon?
Oh, my God. Okay, if I take out Kate McKinnon, it gets to about a 4.
Okay, that's fine.
She is, I cannot stress enough how much I hate her as an actor. She made more fart jokes in this movie than I think Adam Sandler does in his movies.
Ooh.
Like, she just kept talking about, she talks about, like, parrots and, all right, anyway, the movie itself, the cliches run rampant. I mean,
oh yeah.
I can call five, like, every time, and like every time something happens, I know what's gonna happen. And then there's the whole scene with Jason Bateman and he doesn't accept the job to go work with the, you know, the CEO's sister, but they all get butthurt and get mad at him.
Spoiler alert.
They all get butthurt because he didn't say no. Like, he didn't say yes. Like, he just, like, kind of told her to leave his apartment.
Yeah.
But apparently that's still not good enough for everybody else. So he didn't say no. So the girl gets mad at him. The boss gets mad at him. And just they all run out. I'm like, okay, I'm, you know. Then we got the Jennifer Aniston thing where somehow she can take on 8 security guards. And, you know, just. Jillian Bell was a pimp just like she was in 22 Jump Street. Spoiler alert.
Wow.
And
shocking revelation.
Somehow she's super tough, but now she's in a car with a drunk and she's scared for her life and she can't shoot him. It was all over the place. 2 out of 10.
Yeah, like we said, early season fodder if you're clicking around.
I mean, but I watched it. I finished it today, like 2 days before Christmas. That is a Thanksgiving jaunt if I've ever heard of one, because that is not making it into my December watch list.
Yeah, you're November 30th.
I'm confident. I'm never watching that movie again. That's a confident take. That is never being shown on my TV again. If I pass by it at a mall, I'm looking away.
I'm smashing the TV then. It's
$1 bargain bin. No, thank you.
Keep it in there. Okay, that's, you know, that's where you come here. Will holds no punches. Nothing holds nothing back. I think I'm just a sucker for Jason Bateman, and it is a trope fest. It is interesting, the Christmas aspect of it. I don't think it did well enough to just go with an Office Party sequel, although maybe there is one lurking out there. Speaking about letdowns, Steelers, what is happening? Big Breeze.
Look at us hitting sports in the beginning, and the reason because I don't think we're gonna touch upon this later, and I just wanted to say, when they were 11-0, people were still ranking the Chiefs above them, right? Like, they were 11-0, but people were still saying, "Oh, the Chiefs are the best team," and Steelers, where's our respect? And people weren't really believing in them, and now they've lost 3 in a row, and that's just part of the macro, but the micro is, I was down by 36. In my playoffs, for one of the only league that I'm still in the playoffs in. Granted, I'm not saying it was a given, but I'm down by 36. I had Big Ben and James Conner to go. I'm like, this is possible. They're going up against the Bengals. This is possible.
Yep.
I then get the notification that Conner's out. I do have Benny Snell. I also have Giovanni Bernard. And I'm like, well,
rock and load.
But I can't start Bernard. Can't do that. Like, are you crazy?
Why would you do that?
So that was fine. I mean, Snell did end up getting 16. I think Bernard had got 21. That's fine. But I had Big Ben. On my bench, I had Baker Mayfield, who went up against the Giants on Sunday night. And I was like, you know what? Big Ben's had a couple rough goes at it. He had four touchdowns against the Bengals earlier this year. Let's just do it. Let's go. They need a win. They need to win big because everyone's down him. Ben had negative 3 points at halftime.
Ooh. Ooh.
Now, this very thing, and he ended up with 16 at the end of it. Or no, sorry, excuse me. He ended up with six. He ended up with 6 points. Yeah. So I lost by 10. Benny Snell, 16. Ben and six. If I would have started Baker, if I would have started any combination of Baker, Snell, or Bernard, I would have won. But, you know, 2020, can't really predict that. But to watch that game with being invested and just like knowing it was over, like it was kind of a good thing. And I was texting the guy that was playing. I was like, well, at least I know it's over. You know, it's the second quarter. Yeah. I'm not coming back. And he, of course, you know, everyone's going to be a lot of football left. In that third quarter, Ben threw like 70 yards in three plays. And I was like, maybe I have a shot. And no, I don't. And the Steelers... No, I'm not buying it. I think I cannot wait to bet against them in the playoffs in Vegas. Very excited to do that, Jeff. Who knows? Maybe they don't even win the division if they keep losing.
That pulling a little insane. Bit more on the Steelers thread, I don't know if you saw the bad beat that was going around on Twitter or that I posted down in the rundown. Steelers related. A guy was up in his semis by .46. Mm. His opponent had no one left. He had Juju and Eric Ebron. Ebron gets hurt, zero, leaves early. Juju scores negative .5. He loses.
I mean, talk about the pride in playing, leaving those players in, huh? I mean,
that's true. I guess, you know, they were there. People were like, well, stat corrections. Yeah. He was still at risk. He had to play them.
Yeah, you got to play them. You got to play those two. You don't think you're going to get negative 0.5 points between two players. That's unfortunate. Hey, that's the Steelers. Ashley, she's upset. I was upset. Only one fantasy playoff left, but we'll get to that later, Jeff. Let's get to the Twitter challenge here, because, boy, has it been huge.
Ooh, the response.
Jose, are you talking? Spoiler alert, Orange Rush. Rush into the tweets.
Oh,
yeah, no one. No, we got one. We're at the 30.
20 more to go. And we know that, you know, the DLs were there for the last episode. We know you people heard it. So do the right thing. Get a Twitter account.
Yeah, I mean, that can't be the only thing here, because that's not, it takes 2 seconds. I mean, that's very upsetting to me. And I don't understand why we just can't get 20 more followers. That's very upsetting. We have the downloads. Unless, like I said, maybe people are stacking downloads, which is fine. That's okay. You're allowed to do that.
Stacks on stacks.
Jeff, that's enough of that. Let's just get straight to the NFL. I got our bold predictions here.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We each made three. We each did pretty well, to be honest. You nailed one of them for sure, and then I think you got the second one, but let's go over each of ours. You'll start with one, then I'll go to one and just kind of comment on how we feel about them.
I'll start off with my big whiff. Tampa Bay to finish last in the NFC South. I feel like at times the Bucks, maybe for halves of games, have looked like the worst team in the NFC South, but the Falcons have just been putrid, obviously fired their coach, and the Panthers have just lost a ton of close games. So that one was a big whiff. They're definitely not getting a top pick. I think that was another. I don't know if we put that on the Google Doc, but you know, we'll reference that Google Doc whenever, you know, we reconcile those bets. So that was a whiff, but I feel like they're a team that could win the first weekend of the playoffs and then get smashed by an actual NFC contender.
I don't know. I think you kind of said it. One half they look like the worst team, then one half look like the best team. So I don't know if it depends who they play against, because the NFC is filled with a bunch of garbage. So I think
Fair
they'll have
point.
a chance to really to beat anyone. And speaking of the NFC, really quick, one stat I just saw was the Bengals have more wins against winning teams than the Packers do. Think about that. Packers have beaten one team with a winning record this year, and the Bengals have beaten two. So that is kind of like that's the NFC in a nutshell. Also has to do with your schedule and who you're playing against. We'll go to mine. I'll go to a big one. Lions and the Bengals will make the playoffs. The two cat teams, the kitty cat kittens. I said they would both make the playoffs, both not making the playoffs. The Lions fired their coach. Bengals quarterback gets hurt about 4 or 5 games ago. They weren't going to make the playoffs anyway. But I think the Bengals, I mean, look at that. I mean, they're not making the playoffs, but they sure are playing spoiler. The Lions, on the other hand, not really sure. Who even knows if Stafford will be there soon? I like the Bengals' chances to kind of bounce back next year, but I went for a bold prediction and I missed out terribly, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean that's the who knows what would have happened with Joe Burrow if he was healthy for the whole season, if the Lions didn't pull Lions and had a run game and didn't collapse in on themselves, get their coach fired. They could be making the playoffs like we talked about. NFC at least. Some teams will get in that maybe don't deserve it. And Bengals, they've been feisty. They obviously just beat the Steelers, so who knows? Second one, we'll keep it on teams that aren't very good, but was a good pick by me. Alex Smith beats out Dwayne Haskins at some point in the season. I feel like we can put that one money in the bank. Alex Smith is clearly, despite coming back from near-death experiences, better than Dwayne Haskins, who's out at the gentlemen's clubs in Virginia, the essential businesses that they are. He's now being fined and being a knucklehead, as was the scouting reports of him coming out of college. So from all those, from a leadership, from a play on the field, Alex Smith beats out Dwayne Haskins every time he's healthy.
Might as well just tie that into mine, which was they will have 8 wins this season. Now, currently they are 6-8, I believe. So they would need to win
Correct.
out. Not entirely impossible. They play the Panthers this week in a little Ron Rivera revenge game.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then final week of the season against the Eagles, which, I mean, could be for the division, possibly, if the Eagles win next week. But then I also saw, or if they win this week, I also saw if the Eagles lose, then the Washington team clinches. They could sit their starters in week
Oh,
17,
no.
a 7-8 team resting,
Rest
getting
up.
some rest for the playoffs. It just kind of goes to show how weak that NFC is, but pretty close. And I've said it every week, and I'm gonna keep saying it until this season is over. But we both said this Washington team would be feisty, and we can call one thing that we actually were very big believers in. So good on Washington.
Yeah. And I think, as we spoke about maybe two pods ago, the G-men love, get out of here with that. My final one, bold prediction. A darling of the draft process, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's being drafted, I think, number 6 overall, number 5 overall.
Insane.
Half point PPR, I said finishes outside of the top 12. He is currently at running back 15, trending in the wrong direction. Le'Veon Bell getting a ton more carries, although who knows if he's healthy. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire has another, surprise illness, he's definitely out of there. I won't say he's been a bust, but
I will. I'll say it.
okay, that's
He's a
fair.
bust.
I
He is a
get
bust.
I guess of those players who were picked in the first round, he didn't kill your team. He probably, as a team that we'll probably talk about when we get to the ship, got you pretty far, especially in those early games of the season. But probably killed you down the stretch. So I'm feeling pretty good about that prediction. We'll see how this week turns out. He would probably need a monster to jump
He's
up a
hurt though.
couple
You don't know that?
places.
He's hurt. He's not even gonna
Oh.
play. He might not
Oh,
even play
good.
till the
Be gone then.
playoffs.
Be gone.
Yeah,
Be out of my
he's
sight.
the only way he would trend upward is if everyone in front of him got injured or something. I don't really know how that would work.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I was listening to a podcast earlier that, you know, Damian Williams is still on this roster. And so who knows what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be next year. Did he do enough? Obviously, the team and the situation is awesome. But Le'Veon Bell proved that that does not mean anything if you aren't getting the touches.
My last prediction was, it wasn't bold to begin with. I said no games would be canceled. So we kind of upped it a little bit and said none would be postponed. And not only did that not come true, we've had it just a mess of a season in terms of postponements, changing of game days, changing of game times, players not even playing. So that was a bold prediction. That was way too positive. And miraculously, the season is going to finish for the, you know, barring anything else crazy happening. But that's something that I tried going crazy with, and it did not come true, unfortunately. Especially for a team like the Bills that one week where they played on a random Tuesday and got killed by the Titans. Which, by the way, the Bills are looking amazing. But there you go. Bold predictions. Not too shabby. I mean, they're supposed to be bold. Maybe I'll get one.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess we should have been very specific on the postponed, because I guess some games did get moved from one week to another week.
Like, Steelers, Titans, right? Yeah, that was a big one that moved like 4 weeks.
But I guess there was some shifting in week and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was going to say that would be bold, but from a macro perspective, I don't think it has been like super crazy with those type of week to week swaps. There's definitely been a lot of, like, obviously games played on Tuesday and Wednesday and all days and screwing up our internal calendars and things like that. But not a lot of, like, we were supposed to play in week two, now we're playing in week 19. So all things considered, it was kind of middle of the road.
Yeah, you know, I'm not entirely happy with how it turned out, but I think they made best what they could do. And I mean, if you look at the NBA, they tipped off last night on Wednesday night on Tuesday night. And tonight there is a Rockets-Thunders game. There's a Rockets-Thunder game that they don't know if is going to be played because three of the Rockets were contact tracing or whatever. So we'll see how that happens with the NBA. That's the risk of not doing bubbles, ladies and gentlemen. Fantasy football, Jeff, it is coming to the end. What a season. There was a season to finally start best ball. This was the one because of the unknowing of Corona, the unknowing of injuries, the unknowing if games would be played or bye weeks and all that stuff. So, Jeff, we've detailed this a lot. This is my new favorite type of fantasy league. I imagine it's definitely one of yours. I will be playing this next season.
Definitely.
Possibly, you know, as co-commissioner, got to defend some sort of title if we do bring one in, and we're just going to detail it here. We are now in third place. We had a really bad week last week. Aaron Rodgers went up against the Panthers, got us about – actually, Minshew outscored him in fantasy, so we had Minshew get us our quarterback points. A couple players disappointing, Eckler and Carson, but we have got some juicy matchups this week, Jeff. We are 4 points behind second, and for those who haven't paid attention, first and second place get a cash prize. Nothing for third, so we need to get that second place. First place far and away above everybody else. I believe they could get zero this week, and they would still win. I mean, never know, though. So we need to outscore the person in front of us by four. I've detailed our rosters here. Jeff, what do you think? I like our chances.
Oh, yeah. You got to love the chances. Just looking at let's start off at the top, quarterback. He's obviously got the boss himself, Mahomes, going up against the Falcons. Is that a – no, that's just an early game on Sunday. Obviously, we have Rodgers and maybe even Minshew. So, as options, he also has Darnold. Rodgers going up against Tennessee in what is a must-win game
that's
for them.
Sunday. Let me just say really quick, the interrupt before we start going. We have some Sunday night and Monday night fantasy garbanzos we need to pay attention to. Move on.
Yeah. So I feel like we're probably even at the quarterback, maybe a slight edge to him, just on the matchup side. Then we get to running back. I feel like this is where we are head and shoulders above Beckham. This is a half PPR, I believe.
No, it's full PPR for running backs.
Oh, full. Give it to
1.5 for tight ends.
1.5 for tight ends. Love that. He's probably going to get, honestly, like you heard from my Clyde Edwards-Helaire takes, my up-to-date knowledge on injuries is not there. So I did check out James Robinson, who he has. It looks like he's going to play but not practice this entire week.
That's what they said.
Not sure what that will mean for his snap count. I think it's an ankle, so not great for him there. Obviously, that's kind of his stud. I guess Devin Singletary is probably his maybe Breida. Breida's kind of came on the map last week with that other guy whose name I have no idea. He was definitely not on anyone's radar. Although, I just think I saw something that what's his name is coming back.
Miles Gaskin should be coming back.
So that hurts Breida. Duke Johnson, is he getting a lot of touches? I don't know. You know, we have some solid options. We got Eckler. Woo! Henry, come on. And then Chris Carson. I think those are just some tasty enchaladas.
I was repeating this to Ashley last night because I said, all right, I only got one league left. We can, you know, recoup some funds. And I was reading her our team that we drafted together. Again, our team. And I was like, babe, this is a team you would draft on DraftKings. And we have as a year-long 12-team fantasy league. Like, it's unbelievable how great this team is. Like, if this was in a normal league, we would destroy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, our core, we'll get into the wide receivers now. Rodgers, Eckler, Derrick Henry. We have too many options at wide receiver, and I think that was our strategy, right? We was like, we want to get...
At running back, at running back, we have too many options.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Chris Carson, I mean, there was a stretch there when everyone was injured where Derrick Henry was shouldering the load. But, I mean, you look at our wide receivers. We're Diggs dudes, obviously, from day one. We got Landry, who's coming on strong now. Mm-hmm. DJ Chark. Okay, we won't get into that too much. Nicole Hardman's good for just a banger of like 101 off one catch. So, gotta love that. Cooper Kupp has kind of been the letdown, but you know,
he has been the disappointment this year. You can say Chark's been his win, but Kupp has really been the one who's let me down in a PPR.
But you know he's due. If I know the Rams, he's due, and they're playing the Seahawks. So, you know, me likey that matchup right there. there may be some offsetting. I think this is where he probably – I don't know. Give me your take. I think our wide receivers are actually pretty equal. I mean, he's got Robert Woods.
You know, to be fair, Calvin Ridley, I don't understand how he has scored as many points as us this year. Like all things. I guess James Robinson has been stud.
And Mahomes.
Mixon was really good. Mixon was really good. Now, he's been hurt for a while. He's got Keenan Allen. Calvin Ridley is good for a 30-point banger every other week. So his receivers, he has Robert Woods that, you know, we've talked rivals Cooper Kupp pretty much. Calvin Ridley, Sterling Shepard, Larry Fitzgerald, Rashard Perriman, Keenan Allen, Jerry Jeudy. He also has Julian Edelman, but obviously he is hurt as well. So, I mean, we can give him a slight edge because he does have more, and this is a best ball. So just the best players with the most points automatically get into the lineup. So he has more opportunity for a bigger score. But in terms of just like, Diggs is the best receiver, I think, out of all the receivers listed. Him and Keenan Allen can maybe be a little even, but Diggs has just been unreal the past 7 games, I would say. And Landry, like you said, it's kind of coming up there. I like our chances, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to like our chances. I'm just looking. I mean, tight end, I think he has the advantage, but it's going to be a little Saturday showdown for us Bucks at Lions. We have Gronk. Gesicki, it's possible. They see he's limited.
We need him to play. We need him to play
this week.
He's our X factor.
He's the surefire. But Brady is looking for Gronk in the red zone. I will say there were two throws that Brady overthrew Gronk in the end zone last week that I was like, ooh, I got a little tickle. but yeah, Hawkinson has been pretty good as an owner in one league with him. He's been pretty consistent there. So I feel like we have much more upside. I feel like he has probably a solid floor with that Calvin Ridley, Mahomes, Robert Woods, and James Robinson if he's fully healthy. But I don't. I guess I was a little confused how he scored more. I thought we were ahead of him by a few, and he scored more than us last week.
Yeah, so that I mean, was, he that's had a little Calvin concerning. Ridley. Singletary had 20 something points. Okay. Mahomes obviously lit it up. Breida had a big week last week.
So you're telling me we're gonna have to watch Bills Pats is what you're telling me.
Last week he scored 142. It was a really low scoring week last week, just for everyone in general. But we only scored 129. Because like we kind of just mentioned, Minshew was our highest scoring quarterback. Eckler only got 11 points. When Chark makes our wide receiver points, you know it's not a good week.
Not great. Not great. Come on, Cooper Kupp.
5 catches, 39 yards, Kupp. Like, what is that crap?
Against the Jets.
I mean, like, my God. The vaunted Jets. I think the last thing before we move on, because this is, you know, our personal thing with the best ball, I do want to know, regardless of the results, it's been a very fun trial run. Without getting too into, you know, what we paid and kind of like the tier we went for, do we anticipate us doing it again next year and the same tier, a little bit above? What do you think? If you can just kind of give me a quick 20-second rundown of what you're based, I mean, whether it's based on how we finish this year or not.
I mean, we're taking it to the next level next year. We have to. We have to.
Take it to the – I it just – first of all, I mean, how great was doing the live draft? I might have to re-listen to that pod because that was just –
oh, it was awesome.
Unreal. I think if we – let's do one more question about this. If you could change one thing, I think I would change something, and that is, I guess, the tight ends. Because the person in first place has Kelce and Waller.
Hmm.
He knew what he was doing. He or she knew what they were doing with the 1.5 PPR for tight ends. So I think that's just maybe something I would change a little bit differently. But first go around, what do you think?
Oh, it's been a great experience. I've liked it as, to your point, a hedge to season long. If you're not in it, you know, hopefully your best ball draft is coming in the clutch. The strategy is different, you know, the types of players you're drafting, the team construction. It's interesting. I like it. But to your point, having Waller and Kelce on a 1.5 point for tight end, I think that's where we were a bit outdueled.
Yeah, I mean, so just to give you a reference, Waller got 34.5 last week. Kelce got 26.8. The week before, Kelce got 31.6. Waller got 18, probably a low week for Waller. Oh, yeah. You don't even want to know how many points Waller scored 3 weeks ago in week 13. Just take a guess. Well, he had two touchdowns?
Yep.
He
scored 30 in a normal, so he, what, scored 50?
He scored 51.5.
Ooh!
Wee. And in that same week, Kelce got 31.6.
Jesus.
Yet, we were still the highest scoring team that week. Thank you,
very much.
Oh, that's crazy. I still can't believe we had the highest scoring week of the year. That's amazing. All right, so that's the best ball. Let's move on to the year-long leagues. The ship, both of us, of course, not in it, not even in the playoffs, because we are just so good at best ball and not standard year-long leagues. But I just kind of put what happened last year just to kind of as a reference point. Chongers had a bye week last year, lost in his first playoff matchup. Mm-hmm. What happened this year? Bye week this year? Lost in his first playoff matchup. Insane. And last year, the finals was Impeach versus Coastin. And that's what the playoff, this semifinals was. Impeach versus Coastin. Same result. Impeach going up against Coastin won 111 to 104. And Bosa, D's nuts, beat Chong 124 to 96. And I do have some breaking news really quick. McCaffrey this week will.
This is the week, huh?
Not be playing. Doubtful.
Ooh.
I mean, just shut him down. I mean, come on. What are you doing? Seriously. What a trade. That might go down. I mean, can we just talk about worst trades in fantasy football history? When I won the trade and I got Cam Newton and J.K. Dobbins, that's how you know it's a bad trade for both parties.
Yeah.
And he got Christian McCaffrey, so. Hasn't needed him, though. So we got Impeach Trump versus Bosa D's Nuts. 120 projected versus 118, Jeff. One team has had kind of a staple. I mean, I guess both teams have had like a core 3 to 4 players who've carried them this far. What do you think about the matchup?
Well, two teams that we definitely liked throughout the year. Teams that I think have some of the most solid 4 packs you could ask for. Rodgers, Metcalf, maybe not Godwin, Dalvin Cook, and Mark Andrews versus Russell Wilson, who's been slumping, Robert Woods, Tyreek Hill, Derrick Henry, and Travis Kelce on the Impeach and Bosa side, respectively. This is tough. We detailed Rodgers and his need for a big game. We detailed Wilson going up against the Rams, coming off that loss, and slumping.
I mean, this is the Rams versus the Seahawks. Look at these teams.
I know.
Like, you kind of just talked about it. One team has Russell Wilson and Robert Woods. The other team has DK Metcalf and Chris Carson.
Yep. Yeah, that's a huge
all
game.
Eyes on that game.
Yeah, implications. I'm sure it has a huge over-under. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? I think... this is tough. Obviously, you hate Jeff Wilson Jr. in the lineup now that McCaffrey is out. And Daryl Henderson has been overtaken by Cam Akers. I think I'm going Impeach Trump. I think it's close.
I think that'd be the first back-to-back champion in the ship's 13-league run. That would be quite eventful. I think I'm just going to go with Impeach Nuts. Impeach Nuts. Wow, can't do that. Bosa D's Nuts. I think he has Travis Kelce, who is just Derrick Henry. I think we have also rooting interest, I guess, in both these teams, honestly, in best ball. I just think the big playability of Tyreek Hill, Derrick Henry might get 30 points. I think Mostert's going to be out. So Jeff Wilson is going to be the main guy, I think. I'm going Bosa D's Nuts. I'm going for a comeback for Troy, I believe, who's been one of the worst teams in years past. What a comeback. Way to turn that management style around, and ownership must be very happy with what they've seen this year. So I'll take Bosa D's Nuts. I'll take Bosa D's Nuts. Wow.
Love that.
All right.
Cool.
Moving on.
And with that...
I'm waiting for you to take us to the Raft Pool League.
Raft Pool. It's just that, you know, it's a sore that we have to, that, you know. We'll be selfish. It's our podcast, and I got stomped out by Orange Rush, a team.
New follower.
Must have said.
New Twitter follower.
Oh, really? That's who our one new Twitter.
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, it is. It is. Jose.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, he tweeted at us, just so you know, he tweeted at the pod, "You're not going to like this tweet. It should be called," I don't really get it though, but it says ATF Fantasy. It should be called, quote, "Jose Finds a Way," quote.
And well, I mean, Jose did find a way.
Booker T with back-to-back championships.
Booker T. Okay. Well, I'm not going Orange Rush. He gave me a stomping in the finals, 162-132 off the back of Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert's, you know, overtime performance. Won't get too bitter on either of those things. As we were talking pre-pod, had some hedging on the DK side that made the loss a little bit easier. But he listened to us finally going to QB and riding, of all people, David Montgomery to the finals. So here we go. Two teams previously last week scoring 160+. You know, the projections have it pretty close. I mean, it's a 10-point margin, but both teams are above 130. Again, James Robinson on the bench for Thielen, but he just slots in Austin Eckler. He's got Darren Waller. He's got Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers. Woo! He's got that Arizona D going up against the stupid San Francisco 49ers who lost to the Cowboys. He's not even starting Josh Jacobs. So... if that tells you anything, I'm going, I got a Thielen. I'm putting it out there. Come on. No back-to-back Jose. He will not find a way to another championship. Yeah.
It's tough.
I'll be seeing him tomorrow. I'll be pepping him up. I'll be getting him and the troops.
Do we really think that Jalen Hurts is going to do it again? I mean, he's playing against the Cowboys. I don't know. I think Orange Rush is going to be torn, by the way, because notorious Broncos fan, Herbert going against the Broncos.
Yeah.
Chargers just not good against the Broncos ever. So maybe Herbert has a little bit of a letdown game. Davante Adams, I think Brandon Ayuk, we'll see what he can do.
He's been a revelation the past couple weeks.
Thielen, though, the highest scorer all year. Does the fantasy gods leave it be and let it be just how it should as opposed to other leagues? I feel like if I pick Thielen, Orange Rush is going to win. So do I pick Orange Rush?
Orange Rush is going to win.
No, I mean, I do. I think Kyle's going to win. I think Kyle's team is too good. His quarterbacks are insane. You've already said it. Josh Jacobs, he's benching him because he has Eckler and Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
How did this draft even go? I got to look this up. He must have went Henry, Eckler, Henry, Jacobs, Eckler, then picked Rodgers or Murray. I don't know. What a draft. Yep. What a draft for Kyle. So I'm picking Kyle as well. We're both going with him over Orange Rush. I guess some breaking news, Jeff. You have the battle for last, because we did talk about this. The loser has to pay the winner. What does this entail?
Yeah, as noted in the terms and conditions of the league on the Facebook group.
The EULA, the EULA.
The EULA that you agreed to, whereby you Venmo'd me the buy-in for the league, stated that the last place, the loser of the league, not who finishes last in the standings, but making the playoffs count, who finishes overall last place will need to pay the winner another buy-in. So 25er going to the from loser to winner. I texted Jason and Scotty a reminder of this fact and their agreement and consent to said EULA terms and conditions. And Jason said, only responded with, "I feel attacked." So both teams, as we detailed previously, a 134 to 144 projection. This game, however, a 104 to 101 projection. Let me just give you the teams.
Scotty,
still Kellen's favorite uncle. His quarterbacks he's starting are, he's got Tua on his bench. He's got Drew Locke on his bench. Oh, my word. Macron. He's starting Jarvis Landry in that flex spot. The Eric Ebron start killed him last week. This team is quite putrid. But let's take it over to Jason's team, who isn't much better. His starting wide receivers are Brandon Cooks and Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins, oh yeah.
I think he only won games this year because of Dalvin Cook. He also is starting Juju in his flex. But he has Matt Ryan. I feel like you got to get Ryan in there. Come on, my son. I don't even know if you want to start Juju. Julio was also a tough pick. This is tough if I've ever seen it. I guess I'll go Jason if he makes the right moves. I just think Dalvin Cook is the superstar on both rosters and has upside to boot. What say you?
I want to make sure that the loser is the one that pays, right? Like,
yes,
you're not
yes,
winning.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird.
So I think Scotty loses and Jason wins this matchup.
I mean, it's just garbage. This is garbage. I don't even want to, I guess I would start Drew Locke, by the way, if I was Scotty. I would start Drew Locke and Cousins. Oh, I don't know. I'll pick Scotty. Yeah. Come on,
Scotty. Scotty to win.
Both 4-9. I mean, you want to talk about even last place teams, though. They were both 4-9, and they both scored within 4 points of each other.
Yep, and they both made it to the last place finale here.
Yeah, so this is it. That is what will happen, and it's good incentive to make people keep playing. That's like I said, we do that before in one of my other leagues, the one that I just lost in the playoffs. So it's a nice little incentive. And I am playing in the third place matchup, which the winner doesn't have to have a buy-in next year. That's what. So I think what it is the last place pays for the third place person's buy-in next year.
Oh, yeah.
That way the third place doesn't have to pay. Nice. So I still got a shot here. So technically you are winning money. It's money that you won't need to spend next season. Jeff, this was a rapid fire pot. I felt like we tackled a lot. What are your plans next? Oh, by the way, did get your Christmas card. Beautiful, beautiful picture.
Likewise.
Oh, yes. What are your plans?
Sweet note.
The next couple days.
Plans. Hopefully Kellen feels better. He's been battling a bit of a fever the past couple of days. That's been fun.
My goodness. We'll actually, every time we have a pod.
Yeah, it's fun. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I will be going to Agatha Thielen's house tomorrow for a little Christmas Eve feast, I guess, if you will, celebration. Then over to the in-laws for Christmas morn. Kellen is getting him a remote-controlled Maserati, one of those that you can ride around in. So he will be styling.
It's spoiler alert. Like I hope he's not listening. I mean, come on.
Well, he doesn't follow us on Twitter, so I don't think he's. I don't think he's getting.
Why don't you make him an Instagram and a Twitter account? Like, what's going on with that?
That's true. I should pimp him out a little bit. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
What am I doing? What about you, Bill?
Ashley's mom is coming and her grandpa is coming on on Saturday. So the day after Christmas, they'll be here. Nice. We just went to the old Mart of Walls and did a whole bunch of shopping for just the food situation. So we're going to cook some food tomorrow, and I have today and tomorrow off. So we'll just put on some Christmas stuff in the background. Actually, I have all 3 days off. I forgot because we're not even open on Christmas. So I get a nice little mini vacay, probably, you know, bulk up a little bit, go to the Gaim. Get our calories in before we start gorging ourselves. Jingle All the Way will be played today, and we were debating giving Gucci his gifts a day early, and I said nah. He's gotta wait like everybody else.
Wait a day, Gooch. Wanted to, before we go, Will, I think we had teased and we had texted about it, and I think the letdown was so much that I had forgot to even put it on the rundown. The T-Bell Xbox extravaganza holiday surprise. It's kind of good that it's ending at the back end of the pod. So for those who are truly invested in the outcome, we'll listen to the end. So as we detailed on previous pods 2 years ago, all Taco Bell employees received an extra Xbox because they were running the promotion at that time and there was a new Xbox. So they had some quote unquote extras. And so they threw those the employees' way, which was extremely nice. And I jokingly had expectations, but there was a part of me deep down playing the Assassin's Creed Valhalla that was like, wow, it'd be great to have an Xbox One X for this. Maybe 2018 will repeat itself in 2020. And when I got the invite to the virtual Christmas party and holiday celebration that we had, there was a note at the bottom in there that said, a secret surprise for everyone. And as they were building up, and it was like, and now, kind of the moment you've been waiting for, and some of you already know about it because you've been involved. And I was like, oh, yeah, they've coordinated the drop-offs, the pickups, the sending. And then he mentioned before, the CEO was like, yeah, and I know we were supposed to have a drive-through and we weren't able to have that, but we'll get you your goodie bags. And now the surprise. It's the new nacho fries commercial. And a part of me was like, okay, I can't, I have to be thankful for what I have. I can't be around here expecting free Xboxes from my employer. But a part of me died at that moment. I did enjoy the nacho fries commercial, I guess, but it was bittersweet because, I'm going to be playing on my Xbox One, old gen tech on these new gen games. So.
What? Wait, there still is a goodie bag coming or no?
Yeah, like a beanie.
You don't know that?
No, there. Well, I guess that's true, but
wow, it wouldn't be until after the new year. Goodie bag just gets dropped off from Santa. Xbox.
That's true.
When does the goodie bag get picked up? Does it get picked up or delivered?
We have to go and pick it up in the new year in staggered formation. So I feel like they would have dropped that. Because at this point, I was like,
maybe they're looking for the people who are here for the camaraderie and not the gifts. and they look for the
That's
face.
true.
They look for the people with the disappointment on their face and say, "You know what? Jeff's getting cold this year."
That is a distinct possibility at this point.
I'm excited for this. I might be more excited for this goodie bag pickup than Vegas.
I will not open the goodie bag until we have a pod and we'll do a little unboxing live.
Just imagine you have this box, a big box in like wrapping paper, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm waiting this long to open it, and it is just a box with like a beanie in it. I would love it. Maybe we'll air it on our Twitter. We'll just take a little video recording of it.
You know, it'd be funny if it wasn't a big box and it was like had some heft to it,
mm-hmm.
and I got excited and I was like, okay, maybe it is an Xbox, but really it's just like a paperweight or something in there, like a big taco that has some weight in it, and I'm just like.
Or opposite, it's not big, and instead it is a card with like a promotion, like a code on it that says, you know, bring this to a Microsoft store, huh?
Oh, I like where your head's at, Bill.
Now it's everywhere. Now we're looking all over the place. Even better, I might even say, you get two. You never know. Jeff,
this
happens
is good. To be in North Carolina.
You never know. I'm excited for you and your Christmas. May all of you have a just blessed time. Let's hope Kellen's fever gets down in time for his Maserati ride.
Woo-wee.
Hitch a ride in there. From Gucci, myself and Ashley, have a just wonderful – sorry, happy holidays, Jeff. And listeners, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Follow us on Twitter. Late.
Wow, Merry Christmas. ATF Fantasy.